A Charles Paris Mystery, A Doubtful Death, written by Jeremy Front from a story by Simon Brett.
Half bottle.
Getting digs in Oxford for the run of Hamlet was supposed to take the pressure off me.
Better make it a full.
Of course, that was before I found the actress playing Ophelia floating face down in the river.
Actually, a litre's better value.
It was going to take more than a comfy bed and 10 minutes of mindfulness to get the look on Jenny's face out of my head.
If you want value, the Ugandan gin's a bargain.
I didn't know they made gin in Uganda.
Hey, we sell it as cooking alcohol.
Strangely attached to my eyesight, I stuck with a Caledonian blend plus 20 low tar. By the time I arrived back at my new digs, it was pushing midnight. The place was silent and my clean living student housemates fast asleep as I crept up to my bedroom. Wrung out and exhausted, I'd forgotten to buy a toothbrush, but necessity being the mother of killing two birds with one stone, I poured myself a scotch, which doubled as mouthwash. Then opened the window to let some fresh air in and some bad air out. Smoking out of the window took me back to my teens, but it was my first night and I didn't want to upset my vegan student housemates.
What a day.
Whoa, what's going on?
Oh, no!
Charles, you all right in there?
Fine.
What's happening?
Nothing. Tip, go back to bed.
What's that noise?
It's okay, Izzy.
Smoke alarm. Is there a fire?
I don't know.
Is there a fire?
No!
There had been a fire, but I'd beaten it out with a desert boot, so the scorched duvet cover was exacerbated by the sole prints of my grubby size 10s.
What's going on in there?
The relaxed, laid-back moral philosopher now sounded tense and uptight.
Can I smell smoke?
No!
Tim, can you smell smoke?
You can't smell smoke. There is no smoke.
There's no smoke without fire.
There's no fire.
If there's no smoke, why is the smoke alarm going?
Probably a faulty battery. Hang on.
Climbing onto a chest, I deployed the heel of a desert boot and whacked the alarm off the ceiling.
Yep, definitely the battery.
The burnt and befouled duvet was sprinkled with plaster dust and complemented by a hole in the ceiling.
Are you smoking in there?
You do know there's a strict no smoking rule.
I'm going to ask you one more time. Are you smoking in there?
No, I am not smoking in here.
Have you been smoking in there?
Do you mean in the philosophical sense?
In a smoking sense? Open the bloody door before I kick it in!
Guys, dial it down! Let's all go back to bed, but I'm calling a breakfast house meeting.
Well, I've got rowing practice, so can we make it late, say 6:30?
I might still be rehearsing at 6:30.
A.M.
A.M.?
Sharp.
But you're students.
I think it's only fair to warn you, Charles. I'm not sure this arrangement is going to work out.
Oh.
Never more have I needed your velvet and honeyed tones.
Sorry, I must have got the wrong number.
Very much the right number.
And velvet and honey are a bad mix.
I've missed you.
Something's wrong.
Nothing that can't be fixed by the warm embrace of the woman I love.
You better go and find her.
She lives in my heart.
Tucked up next to the fatty deposits and clogged arteries. What's happened?
Well, yesterday I got a room in a house. This morning I'm homeless.
Don't tell me. You burned the place down. Charles?
You said not to tell you.
Charles.
I smoked a cigarette.
And?
Maybe dozed off.
And?
Slightly set fire to the duvet.
Oh, Charles.
On the plus side, the smoke alarm worked. It was okay if I come home tonight. After finding Jenny's body, I really need a good
You
night.
Found her body?
Didn't I mention it?
As an afterthought?
I'm tired.
You're weird.
That may be true.
What happened?
We were on our way back to work and saw her floating in the river.
That's horrible.
You're telling me.
Do you think she fell in?
We'll see what the post-mortem says. She'd been through a pretty dark time.
You don't think she took her own life?
Well, she'd been in a controlling relationship. Apparently the man was given a restraining order, but according to people who knew Jenny, therapy had helped a lot.
Who was the abusive man?
They'd been students together, some actor called Nick.
Actors?
Don't tar us all with the same brush.
Didn't you see her kissing your director?
I did. And do you know who he's married to?
Cyril Jones.
How is it everyone knew that except me?
Rehearsal alarm. We'll talk tonight.
Wired on caffeine with dangerously high blood sugar levels, I hit the streets. Just in time for the heavens to open, so I dived for shelter in the covered market.
Whoa, sorry.
Sorry.
Dan.
Oh, hi.
What's with the white robes?
Gandalf.
I assumed it wasn't the KKK.
Tolkien's Oxford tour. Not that I'll get many Middle-earthers in this rain.
Stormy weather feels about right today.
Pathetic fallacy?
Something like that. Our Ophelia died last night.
That's terrible. I'm so sorry for your loss.
Well, I didn't know her very well, but it's devastating for the company.
What happened?
It looks like she drowned.
Oh, I hope she wasn't wild swimming.
Is that a thing in Oxford?
It is with some students.
I think I saw you on Magdalen Bridge the other day, or Wizard's Hat.
Harry Potter's Oxford.
What is it with Potter and Oxford?
They film bits here, which is enough for the fans who think every college looks just like Hogwarts. So, what's going to happen to Hamlet?
I imagine Jenny's understudy will take over.
Oh. Lucky break.
Well, I'm not sure that's how she'd see it.
No, of course. Well, rain's eased up. Maybe I will round up a few hobbits after all.
Zoe was outside staring at her phone when I arrived at the boatyard. Earbuds in, she was oblivious to my presence.
Morning.
Oh, do you want me to drop another phone in the river?
So sorry about yesterday.
No, actually, you did me a favour. I've had it nearly a year.
I keep cheese longer than that.
Yeah, my parents took pity on me and this arrived this morning.
She reverentially presented it like a votive offering imbued with numinous powers. Expecting my benediction, I said,
nice.
What else was I supposed to say about a metal and glass rectangle identical to all the other metal and glass rectangles?
You've got good parents.
Yeah, bless. I mean, they're centrist neoliberal Blairites, but hey, it's a generation thing.
Yeah, my generation.
Oh, I didn't mean... I mean, it must have been amazing growing up, you know, when you... back in the...
I let her dangle.
I can honestly say I hope I never have to go through another day like yesterday.
Was she talking about Jenny or her phone?
Tom Ash must be distraught.
About their relationship?
Well, and the show. Jenny's going to be a tough act to follow.
Dan's phrase, lucky break, came back to me.
Well, you're her understudy. Surely the part will go to you.
Oh, don't, please.
Why?
She created so much for the role. I'll just be the sub off the bench.
She looked sincere, and I felt guilty for suspecting her.
Do you think the relationship was going anywhere?
He's married to Cyril Jones.
Did she mean talented Cyril, beautiful Cyril, rich Cyril, or all three?
Tomasz is unfaithful, but they've been together since they were students. They're a unit. I'm not dissing Jenny, but why would he jeopardise all that? Tomasz wants to see me. Wish me luck!
I wondered if Zoe knew that Tomash's wife was also bankrolling kick fever.
Hello again.
With windowpane sunglasses resting on the peak of a gold brocaded baseball cap, Cyril wore the standard issue disguise of celebrities begging to be ignored.
How's the book junket?
I've got the morning off. Terrible about yesterday. That's really why I'm here, to give Tom moral support.
She was a picture of wifely concern. But I couldn't help wondering if she was really there to keep an eye on her investment. And while I wondered, Tomash stood up.
Morning, everyone. This is one of those moments in life where words fail to convey our shock and sadness.
Tomash had built a career battling the tyranny of verbal language and text.
Mere words can't express what we all felt about Jenny.
Kick fever was all about physicality, and for one horrible moment I thought the inventor of the connectivity duet was going to express his grief through the language of dance.
Jenny passed through our lives like a shooting star, briefly, beautifully, burning brightly.
So far, words seemed to be doing the job.
She had already achieved so much and had an incredible future ahead of her.
It would have seemed pedantic and churlish to point out the tautology.
But... kick fever is a living organism.
Yes. Yeah.
We are, we're all part of a single body. Yes. Remove one of those parts, it's like losing a limb.
Everyone was visibly moved. Everyone, that is, but his perfectly composed wife, who managed to retain her sang-froid.
As a mark of respect, we won't work today. Zoe and I have had a chat, and when we reconvene, she will take over as Ophelia.
Zoe modestly took the supportive applause while Cyril turned her fixed rictus from Tomash to the former understudy. Then again, she'd had so much filler it was hard to tell when she wasn't smiling.
So that's it for today. When we come back, I know we'll all double down to honour Jenny's memory. The blues is my business
and business is good. Mmm. Mmm. What's that?
Etta James.
Not the music, the smell.
Oxford's finest cheesy chips with chilli sauce and onion rings.
Last night's?
From a van near the station.
Reheated van food for breakfast.
Of course it's reheated. I'm not an animal. Do you want some?
You must be joking.
You don't know what you're missing.
Listeria and incipient heart disease.
I'm burning off the fat with all this running about.
You need to run 3 ultra marathons a week to burn that off.
I cannot tell you how much I'm looking forward to this weekend. As soon as I get back here tonight, I'm going to crash out, so don't expect to see me till early Monday morning.
Actually, I won't be here. I'm spending the weekend with my friend Cassie.
Cassie?
I told you about her, the academic.
Yeah, remind me.
Classic storm, lives in Oxford.
Got it.
Do you just switch off, or do I speak at a frequency beyond your hearing?
You told me about her on the phone while I was in a train lavatory, so not the most conducive place to receive information, but I do remember you saying you'd ask if she took in lodgers.
Now he remembers.
And?
And what?
Does she?
No.
Pity.
Not normally.
Stop teasing.
Lucky for you, Cassie's a theatrophile.
I can accommodate her predilection.
She said you can have her spare room for the duration of the run.
Yes.
I'm driving up tonight, and Cassie's invited you to join us for dinner, then you can move straight in.
Fantastic. If you're driving... Could you bring some of my stuff?
Not if it entails braving your underwear drawer.
My underwear drawer is impeccable. I Marie Kondo'd it.
Even before they were officially vintage, your boxer shorts never sparked joy.
I'll tip a drawer into a case and put it in your boot. Thanks for this, Francis.
Thank Cassie.
I will.
Well, you can do it by not setting fire to her bedding.
Stoked up on the previous night's van food, I arrived back in Oxford with shocking indigestion, but in time to stock up on antacids, which I washed down with...
One double macchiato.
As I necked my coffee, the blunt headline of a discarded Oxford Mail caught my eye. Drowned actress pregnant. The young woman found in the Thames was in the early stages of pregnancy, according to a coroner's report. My riverside walk to work gave me a chance to think. According to Zoe, Jenny and Tomash had been seeing each other for quite some time, so he could be the baby's father. If Jenny had told him, I wondered how Tomash reacted to the news.
I take it you've heard about Jenny.
No thanks to you.
I've been a bit busy, Morris.
Too busy to call me?
You're my agent, not my mother.
You couldn't spare a minute to pick the phone up?
You are my mother.
Everyone here's devastated. Pixie's beside herself. No agent expects to lose a client.
I'd have thought you'd have been used to it by now.
I won't rise to your impugning jives.
Spoil sport.
Pixie wasn't just Jenny's agent. She was like a sister to her. And I'm the paterfamilias. We're more than an agency. We're a family.
Where do I fit into this dysfunctional family?
You're the dodgy cousin nobody talks about, who wears a tinfoil hat, eats roadkill and lives off-grid in a shack in the woods.
Come round, I'll do my stoked tartare.
I think I'll pass.
I guarantee it.
Please.
Why did you phone me, Morris?
I did.
Nurse, Morris has forgotten his medication again.
Oh, I did phone you. Today's your lucky day, young Carlos.
They've cancelled Hamlet and I'm going to get paid the full fee for no more work.
Better than that.
I can't stand the tension, Morris. Spit it out.
Well, an actor's fallen ill and they need a replacement at short notice.
Who does?
Endeavour?
No freaking way!
I sent over your showreel and the gig's yours if you want it.
Want it?
It's a small part.
Doesn't matter.
About 2 pages.
Don't care.
But you do get to wear a single-breasted sports jacket, flannel trousers and a good pair of brogues.
I'm in.
There's just one problem.
Here we go.
And not insurmountable for a man of your charms, but they're shooting on Monday, so Tomash needs to release you for the day. Obviously, I'm happy to put in a call, but it might be better coming from you face to face.
If I explain the situation, I'm sure he'll work round me.
As soon as you know, give me a call.
Will do.
Now go forth and schmooze.
As there was never a right moment for a word with our director, I waited till lunchtime. I finally caught up with Tomash in his office, reading a book and eating something Middle Eastern with flatbread.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry to interrupt.
Oh, it's fine. Come in.
Right. I don't want to spoil your lunch.
Ah, nothing can spoil Cyrielle's Lebne salad. You read this?
Not recently. By which I meant never.
If you're looking for an answer, late Stanislavski never lets you down. Oh, God. Who am I telling? You're an actor. So, what can I do for you?
Well, my agent phoned to say I've been offered a day's filming.
Oh, you want time off?
I know the pressure you're under, so I hate to even ask, but...
The money's good.
Well, actually, I forgot to ask.
Well, if it's not the money, it must be art.
It's something I've been nagging my agent about for ages.
How much time?
One day.
When?
Monday.
Where?
Oxford.
Oh, at least they're not flying you out to Lithuania.
No, nothing like that.
Well, I've got to look at the schedule. When do you need to know?
Well, as it's for Monday, Morris needs to know today.
I'll see what I can do.
I remember you in my will. Do you want the paperbacks or the vinyl collection? So, how's the view from your side of the show?
Oh, hazy. Since Jenny, everything's up in the air. The schedule's shot to pieces. Basically, I'm improvising one day at a time.
It's such a terrible business.
Mm.
I could have stopped there, turned tail, walked out of the room and left Tomasz to Lebne and late Stanislavski. That's what I could have done. That's what I should have done. And now this latest?
What latest?
Oh, I assumed you'd heard. It's in the news. Jenny was pregnant. Tomasz was either a good actor or his response was genuine and sincere. Then again, if you can fake sincerity, you can fake anything.
Oh, poor girl. As if drowning wasn't bad enough. Oh, it's just terrible.
Particularly for you.
Me?
Well, you'd worked with her a lot.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't say a lot. We'd done a few things together.
So I don't suppose you know who the father is.
Jenny's father?
The father of the baby.
Why would I know?
Only because, well, you spent time together.
Working?
Sure, but as you were close...
I didn't say we were close.
Professionally, I thought she might have said something.
Am I being interrogated?
No.
I feel like I'm being questioned.
Why would I question you?
I don't know, Inspector Paris. You tell me.
I know I'm not a cop. I'm just a...
A nosy actor?
Not the adjective I'd have chosen, but...
Why don't you just come out and say it?
What? He got up, crossed the room, then invaded my personal space.
You know what?
He was so close, I could smell spices on his breath.
Why don't you just ask me if I was the father of Jenny's baby?
Chili, cumin, coriander, harissa.
Come on, Charles, that's what you've been ineptly fumbling towards.
I'd have preferred competently fumbling.
I am married to a brilliant, talented, wonderful woman...
She was also a woman I'd overheard berating him for his serial infidelities.
Why would I jeopardize my marriage for a fling?
You wouldn't be the first.
In case you've been living on Mars, that sort of workplace behavior is no longer acceptable.
We both know that doesn't stop it happening, and a brilliant, talented, wonderful wife might turn a blind eye to a flirtatious husband, but she'd have to be pretty angelic to tolerate him getting another woman pregnant.
You've got it all worked out, haven't you?
I wouldn't say all.
Do you really think I'd kill someone to make a problem go away? What kind of monster do you think I am?
The day Jenny disappeared, the day we filmed by the river, I saw you both.
We were working!
What I saw in the woods didn't look like work.
Well done, Charles. You caught me out. Mea culpa. I'm a bad man and a bad husband, but I am not a murderer, and you are not a detective. If you were, you'd know that the police say Jenny died between 5 and 7 p.m. I was here rehearsing with you till nearly 7 and spent the rest of the night with my wife. Now, if you don't mind, I'd like to finish my lunch.
Sure. Oh, about Monday?
What?
What do you mean, no?
No one's more upset than me.
Have you any idea how hard I pushed to get you this gig?
I thought you just sent them my showreel.
After months of chivying them, that was the easy bit.
Don't give me a hard time,
Don't
Morris.
Don't give you a hard time. You've badgered me about Endeavour for a year, and despite your low opinion of my agenting skills, I've pestered to get you seen. And just when the plan finally comes together, I've got to go back to them and say you can't do it.
Do you think I want you to?
You had one job. All you had to do was schmooze. Even you can be charming when the wind's in the right direction.
Well, it clearly wasn't today.
You must have crossed Tomash.
Rubbish.
Never kid a kidder. I can smell when you're shooting me a line.
Well, let's talk
Don't
next
Don't you
week.
Dare hang up.
I'm on my way to dinner at someone's house.
What did you do, Charles?
Nothing.
What did you do?
The conversation didn't get off to a good start.
What did you do?
I may have inadvertently accused him of murder. Morris. Morris?
On my way to meet Frances, I noticed that Cyril was doing an 8 o'clock talk about her life and her latest cookbook, Mouth at the Oxford Union. A pro like me wouldn't be allowed in. And anyway, I was having dinner at Cassie's charming Victorian house in North Oxford.
Charles, I'm Cassie. Oh, get down! Sorry, Argos liked you.
As in the catalogue?
As in Odyssey 17.
Oh, I didn't know there were 17 Odysseys.
Book 17, Odysseus's dog.
Oh, Argos.
That's it. Come through, Francis is here and dinner's ready. Right. Greeting in the kitchen.
So this very earnest interviewer asks Bob, what do you look for in a script? And Bob looked him in the eye and said, days off.
Did he really drink as much as they say?
Oh, I could tell you a tale or two.
Or three, or four. Cassie, tell Charles about your TV idea.
What's this?
I suppose you'd call it a pitch for a documentary series exploring murders in ancient mythology.
Crime and classics. That's got BBC Four stamped all over it.
Trouble is, I don't have any contacts. Anyway, Francis said I should ask you.
You must know people, Charles.
Well, I'm sure I can come up with a few names.
That'd be great. What's next for you, Francis? You should write a book about your grand tour.
I'm starting to go off the idea.
£100, please.
What's this?
Oh, stupid. I bet Charles £100 he'd bail out of Hamlet before opening night.
And I bet her she'd jump on the first plane home the minute she sees a snake.
The thing is, I still haven't decided where I want to go.
Well, you can't let him win.
Oh, I won't.
Francis tells me that one of your actors died.
Ophelia.
Too much of water hast thou, Ophelia. And I've had too much wine. That was flippant.
Well, I'd had the same thought. Life copying art.
If Jenny's death wasn't bad enough, it sounds like she was also pregnant.
Maybe a change of subject. Hey, you could ask Morris to look at Cassie's pitch.
If he ever talks to me again.
Charles is in a long-term, passive-aggressive bromance with his agent.
We've fallen out of love.
What's he done this time?
He got me a part in Endeavour.
At last!
But when I asked Tomash for a day off, I kind of suggested he had something to do with Jenny's death.
Why would you do that?
Do you suspect foul play?
He does this. Too many crosswords, too much crime fiction.
There's no such thing.
You too?
My guilty pleasure.
Ah. Don't tell him that. He'll drag us both in.
Oh, I'm already in. So, Charles, suspects?
At first, I thought the understudy might have been after Jenny's role.
Blind, toxic ambition, powerful motive.
Come on, Cassie. Jealousy may be poisonous, but even Charles wouldn't kill for a part.
Which brought me back to Tomash, who'd been having a long-term affair with Jenny.
Could be the baby's father.
He's also married to Cyril Jones off the telly.
Unhappily married if he's been dining at a different table.
Dining at a different table?
He might not be unhappy. Some men are just
promiscuous, weak-willed, stupid.
I'm staying out of this.
I was going to say that some men never know when they're onto a good thing.
No comment.
Anyway, the police reckon Jenny died between 5 and 7, and Tomash was rehearsing with us all that time.
What if the wife found out about the baby?
TV cook kills actress in jealous rage.
Apparently, after rehearsals, Tomash was with her for the rest of the evening.
Right, who wants coffee?
Always.
Where did you see Cassie's coffee machine?
I'm not fussy about a lot, but I can't stand bad
coffee.
Charles?
What's the time?
9:38.
How long will it take to get to the Oxford Union from here?
20-minute stroll, 15 if you're in a hurry.
I am. Fabulous dinner, Cassie, but if you'll forgive me.
Charles!
Well, well.
Charles, were you at my talk?
They wouldn't admit a ruffian like me. No, I've been out for dinner and I thought I'd grab a nightcap. Well, can I buy you one?
Oh, actually, yeah. Why not?
I could do with an unwinder.
Here's to the success of Mouth.
Cheers to that.
Nice for Tomash having you around. I was jealous of that salad he was eating at lunchtime.
I can give you the recipe if you like.
Very much. He seemed a bit stressed.
Goes with the job.
But also losing a member of the cast.
I know. He's put everything into Kick Fever. It's like a third member of the family.
Tomesh's baby.
It was our baby. We started the company when we were young and broke and didn't know any better.
Where did you meet?
We were students together. Six of us sharing a grotty house. They'd have all died of scurvy if I hadn't introduced them to fresh food.
Cyril Jones, life-saving cook.
Then Kick Fever took off, and funny how we don't recognise real happiness till years later.
Life is what happens to you when you're busy making other plans.
Did you just think of that?
It's John Lennon.
Things change.
People change.
True. Lots of actors don't stay the course. My career just took a different direction.
A very successful direction.
I've been lucky.
You're talented.
Oh, I still get that yearning when I see you guys rehearsing. But I can give emotional support when things are tough.
I can see Tomash is glad you're around.
Good.
He said he was relieved to go home to you the night that Jenny died.
I wasn't in Oxford till the next day. That morning when you helped me with the coffee flask, I'd come straight from the station.
Oh. And that's what I'd remembered at Cassie's house.
Tom probably got into a muddle. It's been a stressful time.
Well, even more so now we know Jenny was pregnant. Oh, he hadn't told you.
I'm going to go now.
It's, I hope, not something I've said.
You seem to be suggesting that Tom was lying to me.
I just repeated what he said to me, that he'd spent that night with you, but you didn't arrive in Oxford till the following morning.
Whatever you think, Tom wouldn't harm anyone.
Who knows what any of us are capable of in extremis. So Tom thought his marriage and his company was under threat.
What are you talking about?
You have been bankrolling Kick Fever, haven't you? Cyril's rigidly smooth face didn't easily betray emotion. But the eyes had it. And they teared up in the realization that she may have sacrificed her career for a man who'd murdered to save his.
In episode 3 of Charles Paris, Charles was played by Bill Nye, Francis by Suzanne Burden, and Morris by John Glover. Dan was Will Kirk. Tomash, Ian Conningham, Zoe, Laura Christie, Cyril, Sinead McInnes, Tim, Greg Jones, Izzy, Lucy Reynolds, Cassie, Heather Craney, and the shopkeeper, Icky Elias. A Doubtful Death was written by Jeremy Front from a story by Simon Brett. The director was Sally Avens.